Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today, myself and Pepe are back after a week of being laid out with illness. We'll go over the 2-0 victory against Aberdeen, the 1-1 draw at Ibrox against Rangers. We'll talk about some of the backlash that followed after that draw at Ibrox. We'll discuss no away fans being allowed into Ibrox. We'll then move on. We'll discuss Saturday's game against Ross County. First of all, though, mate, how are you getting on?
All good. Just looking forward to the upcoming September weekend.
Yeah, it's coming at a good time because this time last week when we normally would have recorded, it just quite simply wasn't an option. A very, very long week last week, but back to fitness now and I'm glad you are too. We'll start off with the victory against Aberdeen, which might feel like quite some time ago, nearly a fortnight ago now. A brilliant victory, a team coming to Firth Park undefeated, and they left with their tail between their legs. Kevin Van Veen bagged the opener, a well-placed header. Ajala in the second half pops up again. Across from Van Veen, he's turned provider this time. Ajala heads it in off the underside of the bar. Could have added to that, Liam Grimshaw nearly got his first goal at Firth Park. Scott Brown absolutely fuming. Declan Gallagher absolutely fuming. It was really the perfect day. We spoke about it before, that we would have settled for a draw, but we could never have foreseen that coming.
No, it was a great result. There's still a wee bit of negativity coming away from it when you look at the possession stats that Aberdeen had the lion's share. However, during the course of the game, every shot that they had seemed to be directly hit at Liam Kelly. And that's not a slip. Saying that everything that Liam Kelly got was easy, obviously his positional sense was really good, but I never felt as if they threatened, and it's clear that's the tactic that the manager allows. He quite likes the other team having a bit of possession and they can have in defending the final third with all their might, and it appears to be working. The game itself, I felt we managed it well without any problems, particularly after Ojala scored the second one. Obviously, the last time that we're on, I was adamant that Ricky Lamia wouldn't be dropped. I just felt as if he would have been a shoo-in. I was really surprised and added a wee bit of excitement to see the new two centre-halves playing. And I've got to say, they look pretty impressive. Both look really big, strong, agile guys. Look like characters as well, which is always good. It's obviously difficult to judge them in such a short period of time, but particularly Saul, he looked as if he was particularly good. And you can have an indication when there's a bit of disappointment, seeing that he was near in the starting lineup against Rangers or on the bench. But it was good. Some of Van Veen's touches again, he really is proven to be worth the kind of admission money on its own. He's great. He's a character, and it's good that he's scored a couple of goals. Both of them, right enough, we said we seem to be scoring quite a lot of headers this season. And I think he's got the perfect foil in Tony Watt, who does all the kind of a dirty work, if you like. So it looks as if we've got it pretty sussed up the top of the pitch. The criticism that was kind of aimed at us the following week, St Johnstone went out and had a kind of a mirror image performance against Aberdeen and get a lot of credit for it. I just think that it's taken, and include some of our support in this, a wee bit of adjusting to Graham Alexander's way of managing out games, tactics, allowing the opposition to play with the ball where they can't harm us. But in Aberdeen game, I thought it was one of the better defensive displays that we've had. And it's enjoyable leaving for part on a Saturday, beating a team like Aberdeen who were in a bit of a slump of form. And it's good to be back and enjoying it again.
Johansson was certainly impressed. A really interesting interview as well prior to the game where he talks about things like his diet, meeting Lewis Hamilton and things like that. He just seems like a larger-than-life character. What Greg Marshall was talking about on the last podcast was that he likes to take the ball into the midfield, and that was quite evident straight away in the early exchanges of that game. But I think he also managed to be a physical presence and just kind of really strolled these first 90 minutes in Scottish football, which is no mean feat. There's plenty that have come in. And I kind of think of big names like Shane Duffy, for instance, last season at Celtic, who came in with a big reputation. It was suggested that he would absolutely walk the league, and he looked absolutely miles off it. This was a very accomplished first showing from him.
It was, and it was also, I think what surprised me was that it was O'Shaughnessy that was his first defensive partnership. Clearly, that's going to be where the manager, you would imagine, it'll be his first choice. But as we go on and talk, I think that's one thing about that's good about the squad. You look round about every single position and we've got healthy competition. So much so that Johansson has got a slight injury for Sunday and McGabby slots over. O'Shaughnessy gets injured during the game and Ricky Lamy is there. So having that, and that's not even mentioning the fact that Dad O'Connor is still obviously not even getting a look in on the bench. So when you look at it from that point of view, with the positives, the results, the depth of the squad and the choice that we do have, things definitely do seem to be on up.
You mentioned Bevis McGabby, and I know that over the years you've not been his biggest fan in the Malone jersey. No, I think a lot of praise should be pointed his way as well. He obviously had to shift across in the absence of Stephen O'Donnell for the Aberdeen game, but then came back into the heart of the defence for the trip to Ibrox. And in both occasions, he's really stepped up to the mark and done very well. I think that he's going to be a player that is going to need to be versatile over the course of the season, because I don't think he's going to naturally be a first pick. But he's shown himself as very capable of performing in a number of different positions. And I'm not saying that he's an outstanding performer, but I certainly think that he's improving week on week.
I think that's fair. I think it would be wrong for me to suggest anything otherwise. Incidentally, I do think that his best couple of games has been when he's been playing at right back. Again, on Sunday, whether I'm just picking it up, Rangers possibly could have had a penalty. And again, it was going to be a handball, which seems to be a kind of common occurrence for him. But other than that, this season, he's looked a far better and more reliable defender. But I think you're 100% right. He certainly, he wouldn't be my first pick, but at the end of the day, he's improving. And I actually thought about this and when I knew we were going to be coming on tonight and thinking about kind of the negative side of it, the way that I spoke about McGabby in the past. And I'm not saying that he's turned the corner, but he certainly isn't anywhere near the kind of the stick that I had given him prior to the start of this season anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a real testimony to the performances of McGabby that O'Connor hasn't get back in as a starting player, and he's doing very well. I'd be very surprised to see if Graham Alexander deviates away from the side that he's got just now, a wee bit of a headache coming up for him if Saul Johansson is ready to step back into the team. Stephen O'Donnell came back in, the captain at right back for the trip to Ibrox. But that decision was obviously made considerably easier by the fact that Johansson wasn't even able to make the 18. So a few selection headaches for Ross County on Saturday. I think I did say we were playing Aberdeen there, but we'll bypass that. Rangers at Ibrox on the Sunday. Now, this was a game that we spent plenty of time defending. We had to be very well organised. Would go a goal behind, albeit in controversial circumstances. Fashion Sakala certainly offside. God knows how it was missed. But yeah, we go 1-0 down. But we held in there. We didn't concede that second. We didn't fold. And we would get a goal back. Kane Woolery scoring halfway through the second half and ensured a share of the spoils there. We were disciplined. We were well set up. It's such a hard place to go. There was the backlash from the Rangers supporters about the way that Motherwell set up to play. But I don't really know whose fault that is. We played the circumstances, we played the occasion, the atmosphere, and we came out with a point, which isn't something that we often say after a trip to Ibrox. God, we've not won there in league duty since 1997. So a point certainly not to be sniffed at there, Pepe.
Absolutely not. I mean, at the end of the day, we speak about this quite often, that you go through the season and the fixture list at the start, and that's one that you write off, and you actually think that's going to do our goal difference a bit of a doing. So to come away with a draw is great. It's a bonus. Did we deserve it? Aye, I think we did. Did we deserve to win the game? I don't think deserving really comes into it. You play the game, the manager sets up his team to try and win the game by whatever way, shape or form that we can do that. Rangers fans do the same when they play some of the bigger clubs in European football. Every club does it. So for the seed that Motherwell's got, I think it was just an easy out for the Rangers fans to say that we were wasting time. I mean, the last time we beat them in the semi-final of the Cup, it was because we were hammer throwers, and Ryan Bowman had smashed Cardozo's nose. So every time that they don't get their own way, there's always an excuse. So it doesn't really bother me. I mean, sitting listening to this Super Scoreboard, there's a Rangers fan phones up and says, complaining about Motherwell wasting time and how Rangers don't waste time. And then he goes on to say that he shouts at the telly when Rangers are winning games sometimes for them to waste time. So he completely contradicted himself in what he was saying. It's all right for one, it's all right for his team to do it, but not for us because we're Motherwell. But going on to the actual performance itself, again, defensively, we looked pretty decent. The one major thing that I took for that game was the performance of Callum Slattery. The only thing that's missing for his game so far is a couple of goals. I think if he'd scored two or three goals by the start of the season, he would be getting spoke about as being the buy of the season. I'm not saying that he is that. What I'm saying is that I think he's got potential to really get on, kicking on well and making us a fair bit of money, because he signed a 3-year deal at the end of the day. Thought he's tackling, he's determination. Sometimes he's caught on the ball at times, but that will come with experience, but he's getting just into the speed of the game. And I've been really, really, really impressed with him. Again, the front three were interchanging. It seemed to be Van Veen was out on the left more. O'Hara played well. And it was a great point. Some people say he's a celebrating a draw. But at the end of the day, look at the difference in the budgets and stuff like that. We're celebrating an extra point because that's what we're doing. The disappointing thing is, potentially we could have won that game and been sitting here talking Motherwell top of the table. And that was certainly something that would have been great. If we're realistic, we know we're not going to stay there. But it's enjoyable that we seem to be able to put up a performance. If you look at every game that we've played this season, there's an argument we could have won every game. We could beat with Hibs, we drew with St Johnston, we drew with Rangers. And arguably, we could have won every single game. So for me, it's improving. We spoke at the start of the season when we said we can only really judge a manager after the transfer window. We're only a couple of games into it after the transfer window. We've not really had a settled kind of side. Some of the signings haven't been fit. And some of the players that were already at the club seem to have found a new lease of life. And one other thing that I'll say, sorry for carrying on a wee bit, is that I've noticed, and I think we've even spoke about it, is that there appeared to be for a wee bit of disconnection between the players and the support. For me, I think that's quite quickly turning around. Now, whether it's now we're on a kind of a decent form, but it does appear that the players, this group of players, seem to have that connection. You've seen the kind of a almost lap of honour against Aberdeen, and three things like that builds up the kind of relationship and the atmosphere. You just feel as if something's right, and it's enjoyable. I'm away for the September weekend. I feel as if I'm going to start stop, and I'm absolutely gutted that I'm going to be missing the game, because it's got to that again where you're thoroughly enjoying going to the games and taking in the atmosphere.
That takes us on nicely to the fact that while Motherwell fans enjoyed Sunday's game, they weren't able to do so within the confines of Ibrox Stadium. Rangers announcing on the Monday prior to the game that there would be no visiting fans allowed due to the red zone area at the stadium. They had to relocate season ticket holders to the section where away fans are normally accommodated. Now, I completely understand that Rangers season ticket holders at a Rangers home game are going to be the priority. I don't like this direction that both Celtic and Rangers are going down, though, in terms of not having visiting supporters inside their grounds, especially in the case where there are empty seats. Though, as much as I would like to just jump in and criticise them, I don't think there is much cause there. I think that it was just a practical issue that couldn't be resolved. Motherwell acted quickly, though, and they had the Cooper Suite open for the game. The players got a good send-off from the supporters as well, which Graeme Alexander pointed to afterwards as a big factor in motivating the players and hopefully gave them that wee extra lift that helped them towards a point. I think then when you flip it on its head, you'd have had, what, 100, 150 you were inside the Cooper Suite. How many would you reckon were there?
It's hard to judge, but it would probably have been about that.
Into three figures, spend the money inside the football club, putting money towards Motherwell rather than our opposition. Ibrox's not the most desirable place to go either. Personally, I wouldn't have been there if we had an allocation. So I wasn't quite as invested in the argument as many others were. But yeah, disappointing that fans couldn't enjoy that point inside the stadium. But ultimately, a bit of a money-making exercise from Motherwell and some shrewder thinking from Motherwell. I'm sure the funds won't go amiss.
No, it was quite an enjoyable afternoon. Me and my wee boy and my nephew, Jacob, we went down to see the players coming away and then straight into the Cooper. It was a good, well put, you do all your tables and stuff like that, all laid out where you were sitting and stuff. And it was enjoyable. After the game as well, my boy was wanting to stay and see the players coming back, and it was kind of a sight to behold that when the bus came by the Club 100 that it emptied, and there was about 20 fans with pints of venom running with great delight toward the Motherwell bus. And I think Kevin Van Veen took the contents of some of the venom, and the players, you could see that they were buzzing with the there was flares, there was everything. That was before and after the match, and you could see the players that they were really surprised at the kind of the cheerio and the welcome back. It was great. However, I suppose when you take it on to the next point with the fans, two points I'll make. First one is, I generally don't often go to either side of the Old Firm, but I probably defend to this one because of the form that we were in. Because I did feel that there was a chance that we played to the strengths that we've been playing, and Rangers weren't playing well. You're always sick if you don't go to a game like that. So I probably would have. But the chat that I could hear in the kind of Cooper Suite and Sunday was, oh, I hope Mullerwell don't let Rangers fans come back into the game. Now, that's a different side of the debate. I'm on the opposite side of the fence of that. I feel as if getting back to the football as normal as possible is the best way to go. I think we discussed it against Hibs, that their support did make that bit of a difference at the games. And likewise, I thought Aberdeen made a bit of a difference, and it's always good when you beat quite a big support. Does it give Rangers a bit of an incentive or a bit of a, I wouldn't say an advantage, but an extra 5% maybe they don't need? It probably does. But overall, I think our players strive off of that as well. I think there's no point in going to they're none worse than going to a stadium that's got a big empty stand behind one of the goals. I heard somebody saying, well, why don't we reduce the amount and go to what we've done in the playoff? But for me, two wrongs don't make a right. I would hope that Fir Park is full. There's banter between both sets of fans, and then we walk out at the end of it victorious. I don't think we should bow to the way that they've made a decision with regards to us.
Yeah, I suppose their circumstances are different. It could be pointed to that Lyon fans were in for the Europa League game, but that's under UEFA rules, and it's a game that isn't covered on the season ticket. I think if it was flipped in its head and the Motherwell fans were being inconvenienced, the Motherwell season ticket holders were being inconvenienced, then there would be uproar. So football clubs do have to take care of their own first and foremost. That's what Rangers did. It was obviously a significant day in terms of they were raising the league flag as well. So yeah, it's bye now. And I think that gradually, as touch wood, we move on in our fight against the pandemic, and with restrictions being continually lifted, we might not be too far away from a stage where that red zone isn't required and we can get back to full normality. Until then, I guess we're just going to need to be patient.
Because obviously the frustrating thing is that when you're watching it on the stream, you're behind, and there was that wee bit of kind of a, there was obviously rumbles in, even when you're in the house, somebody's phone goes and you've got an idea that somebody's wanting to score, and there's nothing at all that anybody can do about that. I'll not miss relying on a stream for the games. That's why I'm so determined to get back to a sense of normality.
Yeah, that actually popped up in my screen as well on Sunday, which it kind of takes away some of the natural reaction to the goal. And to be fair, it was actually because I had notifications set up for all Premiership games on the Saturday, and I just obviously clicked on to the same for the Sunday games, and it did me one. It cost me seeing the goal as it happened, but there we go.
It was weird in the Cooper, because it's actually, it was probably about a minute and everybody was kind of anticipating it, and they were actually kind of, at one point everybody was kind of hitting the tables waiting on it, and then you're thinking to yourself, have we scored? It was such a kind of weird situation to be in, but don't get me wrong, it's still the place still erupted when we scored the goal. You kind of take that away, and I think that did make the difference. Like, if you're sitting down the stairs watching it and there are a couple of people in the house, the atmosphere was still good in the Cooper. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I would definitely do it again, but I would just have a rule that you need to have your phone switched off during the game.
Yeah, there must be something that can be done there. Switch the Wi-Fi off at Fir Park or something like that. But we'll move on and discuss Saturday's game against Ross County. And I guess we have covered a fair bit off just in the previous chats there. The game itself, you look at County coming to Fir Park, they've not won in their first six matches, although they have recorded reasonably decent results at Pittodrie, a 1-1 draw there. And then they got a 2-2 against Hearts up in Dingwall on Saturday. They trailed and then went 2-1 up before that was cancelled out with about half an hour to go. They don't seem like they're a particularly strong side, to be honest with you, but they have been a bit of a bogey team for us over the years. The results last season were shared with two victories each. We, of course, we lost in the opening day there. We also lost in the final day, 2-1. In between that, we won 4-0 at Fir Park and beat them 2-1. That was Bevis McGabby's towering header, and that result, I'm sure, lifted us off bottom spot and was really significant in keeping us in the Premiership last season. I guess, Pepe, without having seen them in action, it's quite hard to judge really what we're going to get there. Blair Spittle got both the goals in last week's 2-2 draw. I see Ross Callaghan's playing as well for them. He was Malky Mackay's first signing. He caused us some problems last season. He scored in two Derby victories for Hamilton against us. They're not going to be a pushover, put it that way. And I think there's going to be a different onus on Motherwell on Saturday. We're going to have to actually take the initiative and take the game to our opponents. And that's not a situation we've been very used to this season.
There's two different ways that I'm looking at this game. We speak about this quite often. I've already spoke about it tonight. And so far, the bankers, this is, in my opinion, our kind of second bank, 3 points, home in Ross County. I'd imagine that the majority of Motherwell fans going through the turnstiles on Saturday would be fully expecting us to go out and win pretty convincingly. I'd be shocked if there was many Motherwell fans thought that we were going to get beat. The only way that Motherwell fans might think we were going to get beat is because it's the usual, typical Motherwell way, whereby we go out and perform admirably against Rangers, and prior to that, we win three games in a bounce. And then you look at this game as taking you further into the kind of top six and really cementing your place up there. Everybody else is then chasing you. I'm not saying this is a must-win game, but I think it is quite a pivotal game. And the reason that I think it is that I think if Ross County came and got a result against us, I think that there's still a bit of unsureness, if that's even a word, over Graham Alexander. I think that there's always a kind of a poor performance in the horizon. And I think this would be the first time that if we go and get this victory against Ross County, I think that the majority of fans then turn around and say, do you know what? He's actually done really well here. And the next game, I think, is away to Hearts. You'd be hoping for a draw there. And if we get beat, it wouldn't be the worst case scenario. Then you're at home to Celtic. That's why I think that this game is quite pivotal. We get these 3 points on the board, they're well in front of where we should be. But it's just the part of my brain saying this is going back to Motherwell, as we've all experienced over the years. But hopefully I'm wrong. And I do, it's probably making no sense what I'm saying. I expect us to go and to win the game and win it quite convincingly off the back of our form. And Ross County, I've seen bits and bobs, I've not been overly impressed. What I'm just trying to say is that you know what Motherwell's like, basically. And I hope that I'm wrong with that. And that the next time we're talking, it's about us being in the top three or still in sight of the top spot. Not that we're going to talk about challenging for the league or anything like that, but it is nice whilst it lasts.
I can't disagree there, and I think the need of County will be quite massive as well. we're only two games before another international break, so they'll be absolutely determined to address the fact that they've not won under their new manager. They had a bit of a difficult start as well because they had to forfeit two Premier Sports Cup games before they got going for the season as well. So that's maybe held them back somewhat. The other thing that I would take from Saturday's game is that if Motherwell do go on and win the game, then that's surely a Manager of the Month award for Graham Alexander. And we always talk about these wee stupid superstitions, but there tends to be a wee bit of a curse associated with that award as well. But it would be a fantastic achievement, and I think that would almost represent a real turning point in how the fans feel about the manager.
I think there was a real staleness at the club. Just Steve Robinson's influence, even when he wasn't there, was still there. With Mark McGee and stuff. Because obviously, Robinson has been there all the way through for Barraclough. And I think he was a real influential figure there. The manager's now come in and there's a completely different way of thinking, training. And it's taken a bit of time to get rid of some of the players that he didn't want. And I still think there's a few players that will still get shorty, the ones that we're not really seeing at all. And I think now that what I had said earlier on was we'll judge him now when he's got his team. So from now to Christmas, you really expect him to hit the ground running. And we're doing that at the moment. As you say, it'd be a phenomenal achievement for us to look. If we go and beat Ross County on Saturday, it's an amazing start to the league for a team that I looked at the results that we had this time last year. And this time last year is when we kind of started to turn the corner ever so slightly. We got a first victory and then we had a great performance or a great first half against Aberdeen, and we really thought, right, that's us going to kick on for there. And we beat Livingston away in Halloween. But then the kind of that was us. But now we're really getting momentum going. Gordon Duncan made a cracking point in Super Scoreboard the other night where he said that Motherwell's seasons where we've been successful finishing in the top six and finishing second and third has all been when we've had really, really good starts to the season when other teams are then having to chase us, and we seem to be able to keep that momentum up. So I really hope that continues. And if I'm honest, I do think we'll go and win, and we'll be dreaming of another European tour.
I hope so. Just as we kind of move towards the end of the podcast, a few things to pick up on from inside the club. Firstly, Stevie Hamill and Joe Ward, two legendary left backs at the football club, inducted into this year's Hall of Fame. Pepe, it really goes without saying that both guys are known for their incredible service to Motherwell, real stalwarts. And I think the left-back position is such a difficult berth to fill due to how good these guys were in claret and amber. It will be an emotional one for both families, I'm sure, on the night. And I think the reaction and the widespread appreciation that was shown by the supporters on the announcement of both guys being inducted, it is very, very fitting.
Certainly is. First of all, Joe Wark, just ever so slightly before my time, you see him playing in the flesh. Seen loads of my dad's Betamax videos. That's how long ago and how old they were, but I enjoyed watching. My dad was actually quite friendly with Joe Wark, and a few times growing up, I spoke to him, but I was that young that I didn't even realise that I was speaking to probably one of the greatest players that's ever played for Motherwell. And then Stevie Hamill, certainly at the last Hall of Fame event, it was mentioned that he wasn't in the first Hall of Fame. He's a, I think his all-time performance record and stuff like that. And it was two players that you would have been on many people's first list as being in the Hall of Fame, so deserving. Obviously, the word legend does get bandied about fairly easy nowadays, but for me, they two certainly are, without any shadow of doubt. And it's also nice to see Stevie Hamill still about the club and still passionate. I think it's that's what makes Motherwell that wee bit different. I know other teams have got former players coming back, but that was an era at Motherwell where we were really with McFadden, Stevie Hamill, Keith Lasley, David Clarkson, Stephen Pearson. It really was a kind of a golden era at that time.
And then, if you're looking for a testimony to the work done by the Youth Academy at Motherwell, Stuart McKinstry was on the bench for Leeds United against Newcastle in the English Premier League last Friday. He then went on and made his debut in a Carabao Cup game against Fulham from the substitute bench on Wednesday night, or Tuesday night rather. He then goes to penalties. Stuart took the 7th or 8th penalty after there was a few misses, a few kind of twists and turns in the shootout. Stuck his away before the Fulham player blazed one over the bar. Brilliant to see a young guy that's grown up a massive Motherwell fan, came through the ranks at Fir Park. He was offered a chance of a lifetime, and it's something that he's grasped with both hands. He's worked really, really hard. He comes from a great family of Motherwell supporters, and to see him achieve that success, it must be so special for the family, but you also feel a sense of pride as a Motherwell supporter seeing things like that.
I think the one thing that I've never knew him or spoke to him or anything like that, but I see in social media that he's always talking about Motherwell. There's a couple of pictures that's popped up of him being in the stand and stuff like that. And I always like that about a player. So I was delighted when I read the updates that didn't watch the game, but I watched his penalty back and stuff like that, and it was great. You could see the passion in him. So I think it's only right that we start the rumour that he's going to sign for us on loan in January and get that rumour started so that it becomes a reality. Because that would be a great thing to see, a young player that started here. Because I think if he's honest himself, he would love to come back and play, particularly at this age, where he's playing football at this age, as we see like Sir Billy Gilmore going out and doing. It would be great to see a player like that coming back. So let's get the rumour started.
I think for now he might have ambitions to break into that Leeds first team. He seems to certainly be highly thought of. Although when you talk about his childhood, he was the mascot for the Panathinaikos Champions League qualifier. He's certainly born and bred claret and amber. And it's a shame that he never got that opportunity to play for the first team. I think he had 5 or 6 appearances in the bench. But as I say, I don't think that anybody grudged Stuart the move when he did get that opportunity, because it is a short career, and the magnitude of that football club with the fan base and the financial clout as well, that they were certainly a side on the up when he joined them in the Championship. They would, of course, go on and get promoted as well. So, yeah, a real kind of fairy tale story there, and one that is another feather in the cap of the Motherwell Academy. The final point of tonight, congratulations to the Motherwell media team who scooped an award at the Football Business Awards today. There's a few pictures kicking about social media just now where they look like they've very much enjoyed themselves at the ceremony. It seemed to kick off at 12:30 this afternoon, so I'm sure that one will go long into the night. But Best Digital and Social Media Team awarded to Motherwell Football Club. Congratulations, Grant, and all the guys associated with the media team at Motherwell, beating off teams like Man United, Everton, Leicester City. It's a phenomenal achievement for a team that's made up of 4 people and then various volunteers. So congrats to the media team, and just yet another endorsement of how things are off the park at the club. Pepe, the media team do attract a lot of praise for the work they do, and they've got rich reward for that.
I think they're in a difficult position sometimes as well. I think we need to take our hats off to that. When things, for quite a long time there, the results weren't great. And at the end of the day, they've still got a job to do. And it,
I don't know what else. Did they just take a week off? I mean, they're not going to do that. And a lot of times the fans come out and say, oh, please no motivational videos and stuff. But at the end of the day, that's what football's like now. You know what I mean? Social media is such a big aspect of it. And it shows you how successful that we've been. The plaudits that the club have got and the way that it's been publicised for the season tickets drive and stuff like that. And as you say, to be competing with teams like Manchester United, not that I like them, at anything for a club like Motherwell is phenomenal. So it really is a great achievement. Hopefully now we can go on and emulate it on the pitch and allow them to create a great digital story of his hopefully lifting a trophy this year.
Yeah, I think that would be the icing in the cake. It's just to think about it, it's four people working in like a small office environment and creating the amount of good press and PR for the club that they do is fantastic. And a lot of the messages the mother tried to push in the community all emanates from four people having great ideas, a great creative sense, and also just a great deal of work ethic, because the hours that they do work is quite staggering. Congratulations again, richly deserved, and hopefully they're going to have a fantastic night as well. Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Unless you can think of anything else.
No, just quickly, I was just thinking there, but I was going to go back to what you were saying. I was thinking of the comparison of what we were talking about Stuart McKinstry and how we wished him well and stuff like that. And then the difference, he likes a Declan Gallagher. I think it's a massive difference when you sign for the likes of Leeds or somebody down south like Alan Campbell at Luton, and you look out for the results. But when a player like Declan Gallagher signs for Aberdeen, the absolute sea that us as fans give back, and that was another wee sweet moment when we sent Big Declan in packing up the road. So it was just a wee comparison that came into my head.
Yeah, I guess the other part of that is the youth team type thing and kind of coming through the ranks. Another thing that we should mention is, it's just a final kind of wrap-up of the fundraising in memory of our good friend Andrew Patterson. The really incredible donations from people far and wide allowed us to take on an additional sponsorship. So as well as sponsoring Liam Grimshaw and Andy's name over the course of the 2021-22 season, Graeme Alexander will be sponsored by the family and friends of Andy P as well. So we've got two sponsorships over the course of the season. It's also allowed us to make a donation to Tony Watt's fundraising efforts for the local food bank. There was money donated to a friend, Pete, from Steelman Pinsey's walks for prostate cancer. And as well as that, we also took an advert out in the Fir Park Corner versus Motherwell Legends programme last weekend in memory of Andy. So again, thanks to everyone that got involved in that. Just shows the high regard that Andy was held in and continues to be held in. Hopefully these wee gestures can help keep his memory ticking along in the minds of Motherwell fans. Really delighted to have raised such a great sum and been able to make a difference with that money. So thanks again.
I think subconsciously he's put that question into your mind tonight about getting into my mince about trying to make me go back on my previous Beavis McGabby criticism. So I think that's maybe been Andy sticking in your mind for my previous harsh treatment of Beavis.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt if I'd been asking you that question, he would be pissing himself laughing at you finally getting your comeuppance. It was either that or Beavis was going to come round and punch you in the face. So you've possibly got off quite lightly.
Definitely. I think I would have taking that choice anyway.
Mate, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks again.
You've been listening to the NFC podcast. We'll be back following the Ross County game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.